Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
And I got the sunshine and the blue sky up above. I got the black top under
now 34 after the hour. I'm Doug Steffen with my friend Victoria Keelan and Rich McFadden, who's at the controls in our studio in Washington. For those of you who are fans of the space program, here's some food for thought from the Did You Know and Do You Care department. A manned rocket can reach the moon in less time than it took to travel the length of England by stagecoach in 1820. How about that? It's all like relative.
Yeah.
Just using it as an example. I was watching something about the, I forget when this was, I think it was Friday night, when I was sort of dozing off and wondering, okay, what do we have? And was it Friday night? Yeah, I think it was. I think we were both on the couch, and I think what night it was wasn't important. I remember seeing it some night last week, the story of the Russian space program versus the American space program at its inception, and how the Russians moved ahead by taking a lot of chances with their astronauts. They're not as big on life as we are. Certainly they weren't then. And I can probably argue.
Get me
that.
Two more.
Yeah, right. Boom. Exactly. Yeah, right. Yuri Gagarin. You remember him?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the monkey. Which one was it?
The monkey. No, we sent a monkey up, didn't we? Or was it the Russians that sent the monkey? Now I'm trying to remember.
No, I think the Russians sent the dog.
Yeah, right.
Went to space?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Back in 1957. You
and what happened to him?
He came back. The chimpanzee almost drowned, but the dog, I think, made it. They sent a couple of dogs up. One of them didn't make it. One of them didn't. So here's the closest star to the Earth. Proxima Centauri is 2.33 light years away. That's 24,792,500 miles away. Oh, I know why I'm thinking about this, because on Friday night, we were watching, before we both fell asleep, we're both like 9 o'clock and we've had it. We were watching, Matt Damon is so good in The Martian.
I love that movie.
It's great.
Fabulous movie. But thinking about some of the stats in it, the fact that Mars was, 50 million miles away or something, whatever. So all food for thought here. Speaking of food for thought, The Pentagon has announced plans to repeal its ban on openly serving transgender members in their services. 1st of July, we'll see the repeal that came 5 years after a decision to end the military's ban on gays and lesbians serving openly. So a lot of you hardcore militarists will say, the end is near. Well, you've been saying that for a long time, and it hasn't. It isn't the end. Why shouldn't they have a place? What is there?
Anyone who wants to serve our country?
Exactly. Give them a uniform and a gun and see you later. That's it. Yeah.
I admire anyone who has the fortitude and the mental capacity to do that, knowing when we talk a lot about veterans with PTSD and all the things that they're signing up for, the level of bravery, knowing what the risks are, doesn't matter what gender you were born with. If you are that type of person, then my hat is off to you.
See, I don't understand this, though. The person who runs the American Military Partnership Association said in a statement, quote, "Our transgender service members and their families are breathing a huge sigh of relief." I would think you'd be breathing a huge sigh of relief if you made it through a battle on the desert in Afghanistan. Breathing a sigh of relief because it's okay as a transgender person to go into the service. There are 15,000. My God, who even knew there were that many people on the planet, never mind in the service? There are 15,000 trans people in U.S. military service right now. I mean, seriously, did you have any idea there were many people that were transgender? Never mind in the service, any place, period.
Well, being in New York City, yes. But, and yesterday was the big Pride parade here, so absolutely yes. But I think they're breathing a sigh of relief based on the fact that if they're already in the service, they can't be discharged.
Right, yeah. And that was something that happened.
When you Google what percentage of the population is, The first search result is gay. The second search result is transgender. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought that that was that high up there. I would have thought kind of race or religion.
Yeah.
Third result is black. Yeah. Fourth result is left-handed.
Yeah.
But what population? 0.3% of the population in the United States
is transgender.
Is transgender. That's 700,000 people.
Wow.
I had no clue.
No, nor did I. All right. So, 20 minutes before the hour on the Good Day program, we were talking about Keith Urban and his 10-year marriage or relationship
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman. And I just came upon something as I was in the back of my mind. I remember seeing something because we said rather lightly, 10 years is a long time to make it these days, which seems to be true.
In Hollywood, we were talking
Hollywood.
About.
Well, I think in general, there's a new trend, Richie, going around for those who are making their way through divorce, which we all know. I mean, even breakups. If you aren't married, but yet you've been with somebody for a long time, they are emotionally exhausting. Now, there is, as you might expect, a trend that will sort of soften the blow, if you will, and provide somewhat of a physical boost. Sports psychologists say that training for running races during difficult times can provide an escape from negative emotions. So now there are things being run called breakup marathons, a new social outlet. You're breaking up, you're getting a divorce. It's, quote, often the culmination of months or even years of trauma and stress. The stress and tension release that runners get can be an important part of healing the brain. So now if you want to break up, you should find out where there is a group of like-minded or people experiencing similar circumstance and see if they have a running club that's specifically for people who are going through breakups. How about them apples?
I heard yesterday also that running can help you release a protein that helps you remember things.
Friday. We were talking about that on Friday.
Yeah, right.
If there's something. But the other effect
Think about these two stories together, okay?
Yeah.
So you're running to help with a breakup, but at the same time, it helps you remember why you're breaking up.
Yeah, right.
But that's good. Then maybe you're going to get a whole lot of clarity while you're running.
Yeah.
Well, but the circumstances as they present themselves under, let's think about that for just a second. The ankles, the feet, the knees, the hips, the back, the shoulders, the spine, the whole, your body is messed up. Let's face it, folks. When you go out running and you're on hard pavement, you're doing yourself a heck of a lot of harm. You really are. That's why I stopped running, because I could see and feel what it was doing to my knees and my back. Just pound, pound, pound. So is it good for your heart? Yeah. You're going to run on a field or someplace that's not so hard on your... It's hard to do that in New York, I know, unless you go to a gym.
I have a big backyard. It's called Central Park, but
right. So you go running there.
So you get to run from muggers.
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. The one more item here in the why do we stay married or not department. My question to you, this sort of frames the conversation. Survey released last week suggests that 2 in 5 married men and women admit that they lie to their partner about finances, hiding everything in, they put their bank accounts in shoes. This is a study by the National Endowment for Financial Education finds there are often hidden money.
Oh, that's my wife.
She hides the money.
I don't think she hides it. She must have, I can't even tell you how many bank accounts she has.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She's got bank accounts everywhere. And I'm like, why? Why do you have money and all these? Well, I like to save for this. I like to save for that. And I do this. And I'm like, do I know where all these, say something happens to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere where I can find where all this money is? She's like, well, it's all in the statements here in the drawer. It's unbelievable. Oh. Every month, I think I find out that she's got some kind of new account.
Do you trust her with the money?
She pays the bills. So
that's not the answer. You don't trust her, I can tell.
No. I give her the money. She pays the bills. She's better at it than I am. So take care of it.
Do you consider it your money or collectively our money?
No, it's our money. I mean, but I get the check.
Right.
I put it in our account.
But she's working too.
Yeah, right? She don't make any money. Oh. She works part time, 7 hours a week at a school.
That's dismissive.
So she makes a little spending cash.
Victor.
Well, I can share one story that I find to be hilarious and appalling at the same time. On a radio show that I used to work on, a girl called in and she wanted to remain anonymous. She had a confession. She wanted to get it off her chest. We were talking about couples and finances and what do you fight with, you know, what do you fight about with regards to money? So this lady calls up and says, every time I go to the grocery store, for the last, I think it was 6 or 7 months, I always get one of the Visa or Amex gift cards, and I throw that in for $50 or $100 at a time, and I throw that onto the shopping cart, and it all gets printed up on one grocery store bill. So her husband only sees that she spends an average of, let's say, $300 a week or every other week at the grocery store, but meanwhile, she's got hundreds of dollars of gift cards that she's building up that she can just secretly spend money on. I couldn't believe it. Wait a minute.
You're just laughing.
I know. I'm planting an idea.
Yeah, right. I'm thinking that too. Yeah, here you go. Yeah. All right. Well,
that's a lack of trust. That's deceitful.
It is deceitful. It's horrible. That's a horrible relationship that should end. If you can't trust each other with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Although in many circumstances, like you get something. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, what's ours is ours. But
every couple I know has separate accounts and then joint accounts.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they know.
But because men have things that they want to spend money on that they think are necessary expenses, that like Rich apparently has a million guitars that he apparently needs. I'm sure your wife has things that she feels
accounts.
That she needs 10 pairs of black shoes, and you don't understand that either.
No,
so I think that men and women should have their own discretionary funds because you can spend it on things that we think are stupid, and then we spend things that on makeup and beauty products that you think is stupid.
If you both have your own source, I have my source, Meredith has her source. I don't know anything about her stuff. She knows actually a lot more about my stuff.
But you aren't married.
Her stuff. No, we aren't.
Yeah.
You should have separate accounts.
Right.
You should know.
Why should my wife and I still have separate accounts? Just because it's been that way since we got married.
My daughter and her husband have three accounts. He's got one. She's got one. They have one together.
Same thing with us. I have one. Pay. We have one together. And then she has 43 of her own.
They pay their bills. They pay. Megan pays her car payment. He pays his car payment. They pay their mortgage with two checks. Megan writes a check for half of it. He writes a check for half of it. When they go grocery shopping, she pays 1 week. He pays the next week. That's the way they do it.
So they make about the same money then.
Yeah, he makes a little more. He makes more than she does, but enough so that.
So they just whack it up and split it.
Well, they don't. They have their own accounts, and they pay their bills together. And I don't know. I guess I've never asked her because I don't like to get into that. I don't think it's any of my business, actually. What it is that she, she'll tell me. I know how much she's making. I know how much he's making. But then after that. Sometimes you want to make sure that they're A-okay and putting a little. Actually, Donald and I had this, my guy Donald, yesterday, and I had this conversation when we were sporting about the world trying to fix my truck. We were talking about dreams and we talked about money, how much he's got set aside. Is he okay? Is he comfortable? Because he was asking me to analyze his dreams. And
are you good at that?
I'm not bad at it. And part of it had
to do
with.
Give it a shot, Victoria. See how he does it.
His own suggestion of being concerned about, what he's got put away. Is it enough or not? It's never enough.
It's never enough.
That's the way I look at it. Never enough.
Yeah.
49 past the hour and good day.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Where are you likely to overspend? Name the places where you're likely to blow the budget and maybe go in debt. Here's the social science of it. First off, parents are likely to overspend on their children, especially during the holiday. The typical kid asks for 4 or 5 presents, and the typical parent gives 7 to 10. We also overspend on our pets. There are entire stores devoted to Fluffy and Fido. We're also likely to overspend when it comes to college. The difference between state and private college is astronomical. Finally, we're likely to overspend on weddings. What's the cheap psychological trick? Humans spend more when emotions are out of control. To avoid overspending, just put time between you and any purchase. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
All right, we're into the, this week is going to be one of those fussy weeks. Next week, normally 4th of July week, is the week during the year in which more people are on vacation than any other week. Second most experienced travel and vacation week is Christmas. And according to the folks at the AAA, 43 million Americans expected to travel. Overwhelming majority of people are driving. And that's because a lot cheaper even this year to drive than it is to fly. Flying prices are nuts. Crazy. I have to go to L.A. Next week. And even a month ago, when I was looking at the prices, they are, for one way, what it usually costs me and more to fly round trip to Los Angeles from Boston. It's just, and you can't find a seat where everybody's going. But I'll tell you something. There are a lot of people who are doing a lot of traveling. And that's good. It's good business. Tourist business is great. Very super charged this year. Going to be something else.
Why anybody would want to travel on these holiday weeks?
I agree with you, Richie. You got to be nuts.
Man.
Yeah.
I can't take that kind of
pressure. Well, we're driving down to the shore in New Jersey, so I'm hoping to let everybody go before us and be okay.
Let us know how that works out for you.
Thanks, yeah. Richie. You're so supportive.
Yeah. It's a mess.
Yeah. All right. Here's Johnny Manziel.
Speaking of messes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hot mess.
Apparently a lawyer accidentally texted a reporter in a message. He hinted that he is doubtful that Manziel can stay clean. Said the quarterback spent $1,000 in drug paraphernalia just an hour or two after he was involved in a hit-and-run accident. And this was last week, apparently.
Yeah, he thought he was emailing it to another lawyer, but he accidentally sent it to the AP.
Yeah, great.
Oops.
Or was it really an accident?
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy needs help, you know, so
yeah,
maybe that was his attempt.
Out of the public eye. There are a lot of people. He may be the poster child for a lot of people who are abusing drugs in a way, but I don't believe he deserves any sympathy at all. He could handle it if he wanted to. He doesn't want to.